Welcome to the New York Times podcast, your Is It Me or the Lifestyle of Music, News, and Criticism. I'm your host, John Caramonica. You feeling that big country radio energy, that big knock you in the head country radio power? That's Gabby Barrett. Gabby Barrett out here swinging a mighty sword on country radio. That is currently, or at least as of yesterday, the number one song on the country airplay chart in Billboard. Regular listeners of Popcast, people who follow the country business, know female performers in Nashville are at a deep disadvantage, structurally kept away from country radio success. It's a dire situation. Maybe like tiny nodules of progress, but it's a dire situation. It remains dire. I've been thinking a lot about that, given that there is a new generation of female performers who seem to be having a little bit of success at country radio. And so I wanted to talk and think about what the conditions were that were leading to that success. And also TikTok. I know we talk about TikTok all the time, but TikTok has been having an effect in country music, especially in the kinds of country music that younger female performers are getting known for. And so I want to talk about that full range from TikTok to radio. To do that, Natalie Weiner, Marissa Moss are going to call in. They do a newsletter about country music together. It's called Don't Rock the Inbox. Marissa's working on a book about women in country music or the lack thereof. It's called Where Have All the Cowgirls Gone? Natalie writes about music for Billboard and the New York Times and a whole bunch of other places. So we are rocking the inbox, no matter what the newsletter title says. First of all, if you have been listening to podcasts for a long time, you know Natalie Weiner. Natalie's here. Hello.
Hi. Thank you for having me again.
Even though you've moved to Dallas.
I have, you know, big change. 2021, new year, new me, et cetera.
Yes. So, you know, plenty of people had lifestyle changes during COVID and during the pandemic. Totally fine. Natalie just up and left. So it's a bummer. That's a sad to have you leave New York, Natalie.
I mean, it is sad to leave New York, but when one loses one's job and it's a pandemic, you know, and then one finds love in the midst of the pandemic, crazy things happen.
And let that be a lesson to all of our listeners. It's acceptable to move for love, just so they know. If you don't take anything away from this week's episode, but one thing, let that be the one thing. And we still, even in spite of Natalie moving, we still had her on podcast. So welcome.
I haven't been completely like exiled from, from the New York scene.
It's right on the edge. It's right on the line. But you know, we're still here. First time on podcast, it's Marissa Moss.
Hello.
Live from Nashville. Marissa, what's good?
I'm hanging. I had a baseball game for my son, and now I'm here ready to talk about country music. I'm excited.
We want to emphasize again, this is Podcast After Dark for real this week. It is late. It is late. Everybody has life responsibilities. Everybody got real things going on, real things to attend to. It's dark outside. I also have not eaten dinner yet. So it's a feral, raw energy that we're bringing to the subject matter this week. First of all, as I mentioned before, Don't Rock the Inbox. This is a newsletter that the two of y'all do. And let's just, before we get into the subject matter, Marissa, do you want to explain a little bit about the media climate about country music that would perhaps, oh, I don't know, lead to independent thinkers to want to start a newsletter? Shout out all our friends in Nashville. First of all, shout out all my friends in Nashville.
Yeah, I'll tell them all you said hello.
Please do.
They're all listening to After Dark. Well, yeah. I mean, Natalie and I have just organically liked talking about country music to each other, and we both like writing about country music, but it can be a tricky thing to find appropriate places to talk about the artists that we like, which sometimes range, you know, from super mainstream music row folks like Sam Hunt, a little fellow that I know you guys both share an affection for. Just a small little affection.
Okay, fine. We'll do the whole episode about Sam Hunt. Fine.
I'm ready.
I was prepared for a pivot.
Sidebar, the record that Sam Hunt did with Sasha Sloan that came out a couple weeks ago is like kind of a light bop. Just throwing that out there. If nobody's seen it, if nobody's listened to it, go check that out.
I mean, it's Sam Hunt. How could it not be? Anyway, yes.
Exactly.
Marissa,
right.
Continue.
I opened the door. I did it. I'm sorry.
You really did. Dangerous. Dangerous what you did.
But, you know, they're artists that sort of become media darlings that we're able to write about outside of the sort of country music press proper. And that can be very limited. So, like, there'll be someone that everyone will really fall in love with pretty much always for pretty good reason, like Kacey Musgraves. But then there are people that aren't sort of as, quote, cool or, you know, reach that sort of level of approval outside of Nashville. And so we wanted to find a place to talk about that, too. So I think that's kind of where the idea for Don't Rock the Inbox came from.
So we want to encourage people to subscribe to Don't Rock the Inbox. I know not everybody who listens to podcasts messes with country music, which I know because I see it in the Facebook group. I see some light. It's like it's a little vaccine hesitancy with country music, a little country music hesitancy. But please, if you're into it or want to learn more, definitely check out the newsletter. Also, Marissa, as I mentioned earlier, you are working on a book, which is going to be coming sooner than not. It is going to be called Where Have All the Cowgirls Gone? And you're going to tell us in this episode, which is phenomenal. So that's great. We can just like tie that whole thing up. Let me start by saying how we arrived at even talking about all this stuff today. I have been really excited by the Priscilla Block arc over the last 6 to 12 months, however long that's been going on. I've been really excited by it. And I was thinking about TikTok and virality with this very, very hidebound industry. And then I was like, there's only one country music radio station that plays in New York. And I was like, you know, they're playing some Carly Pierce records. Like, there's some stuff happening. So I decided to check out the country airplay charts. And I'll be honest, I was a little bit surprised to find more women on the country airplay charts than I would have expected. Country radio being the most challenging entry point for really anybody not named Luke, who's a country singer. And so I in no way think that there is like a systemic evolution happening, but I was surprised to see, you know, at the top of the show, we're listening to Gabby Barrett, The Good Ones, second big Gabby Barrett single. Gabby Barrett, if you don't know, late American Idol, post Carrie Underwood energy, very clearly destined to be a centrist mainstream Nashville star. But there was other stuff, Tennille Arts, obviously Miranda's on there, Lainey Wilson, Carly Pierce, Ingrid Andress. There's more action happening than I was maybe expecting. I wonder for where you guys are sitting, is there any step forward here that is actually happening given what's going on radio? And do you feel like, let's start with that. Do you feel like what's happening on radio is in any way evolutionarily a step forward? Or is it just more of the same with different faces?
I'm a severe pessimist when it comes to country radio. I'm trying to like bring myself out of that because I know it's a dark hole, but that's because country radio is really a dark hole. There have been, like you mentioned, some women that have kind of climbed through. I think kind of in that group, Lainey Wilson and Carly Pierce having some success are like the more exciting ones for me, not talking down on the other ones. But I think Lainey Wilson is really pretty country and has really nice texture to her voice and like different to hear on there. You know, I don't think hearing Gabby Barrett is not that different from hearing what you're used to in terms of like a female voice on country radio. And it's all about familiarity. So we just go with what sounds the same. But I mean, as some of the festival lineups started to roll in for summer and fall, I was a little surprised to see that none of what you're seeing on the country radio charts in terms of a little bit of success for women has rolled into festival lineups like at all. They are all as dude heavy as they have ever been. But I mean, there are some, not to be too pessimistic, so there, like Tennille Arts is a cool story. You know, you had Alex Klein, you had a whole female team producing and writing and making the song. It took like 61 weeks to get to the top of the charts, which is insane. Like
61?
61 weeks, I think it was. That might not be exact, but it's 60 something it took to get to number one.
A classic country music success story. Right. I'm not even being glib. Country music, the charts are by far the slowest moving of any of the genre charts, any of the radio charts. Like country is like turtle-ish in that regard.
Yeah. So 61, you know, making a hit in 61 weeks. Like, I mean,
but that's great. Cause then you can have a whole career and you really only need like 6 hits. Cause that'll get you like 15 years.
Yeah.
It's actually liberating if you think about it.
unless your name is Luke and you can have 800 of them and they'll, you know.
Any Luke goes.
Any Luke is fine. Any Luke. But I mean, then you, it's still perplexing because then you look and you have like Dylan Scott still trying to climb to the top, who like no one has heard of. Like no one listening to the show has probably heard of Dylan Scott. Just no one has. Like, no, I don't, sorry, Dylan Scott, but like.
Dylan Scott's publicist is going to really be sending you an email. Just FYI. Wow.
I do not let up on Dylan Scott. I'm sorry. I just can't.
That's all right. Podcast is a safe space to slander. And if it has to be Dylan Scott, then, you know, it's, look, it's been Mitchell Tenpenny before. It can be Dylan Scott this time. It's okay. You know, it's okay. It's a safe space. Let's listen to the Tennille Art song. We'll come back to Lainey Wilson. Let's listen to Somebody Like That. But I want that.
Just to add to what Marissa is saying, I think that right now, country pop radio, which is what country radio is at this point, it's like really has a very strong pop bent, like more than it had, I think, in the early 2010s. I think it's kind of a trickle down post Sam Hunt effect, you know, a little bit, a little teeny tiny bit. Because obviously his impact, you know, who can deny? But no, I mean, I just think that like even the male artists, the Dylan Scotts of the world are still doing this kind of boyfriend country, super smoothed out thing, you know? And that in an interesting way is kind of making the women who might be derided for their poppiness, like have more opportunities to succeed, you know, like the Gabby Barretts of the world. The radio zeitgeist is just making including a few more women like more palatable because it streams into these like, I don't know, croony guy love songs, you know, like it's just way easier. Also, I would like to note that I called Lainey Wilson, I think, late 2019 on this very podcast. So
nice.
Lainey V. Wilson. That's who you picked at the end of the episode, right?
Yeah.
Like when we were like, let's play one song by like a female singer that we're into that's not kind of like on right now, right?
That's who you picked.
Yeah, I think so. Then talk about Lainey Wilson. Explain why. What did you hear then? And what are you hearing now?
What I heard then was just like, I was like, we need a woman answer to Luke Combs. Given like Luke Combs's trajectory since then, you know, I think she's going and like they've kind of diverged a little bit. But I do think she just, like Marissa says, she's got a little more texture, a little bit more of like a conventional country feel, you know, that is more familiar and traditional, but also like organic and round sounding. And I just think her songs have a little bit more spunk. I'm not like as into the one that's at radio right now, but I like her generally. So yeah, I think she gives me a little bit of hope for the state of country radio at the moment.
So that song is called Things a Man Ought to Know, which I kind of agree with you. I don't think it's like the best Lainey Wilson song, but it might be the most structurally radio familiar friendly Lainey Wilson song,
and even topically, like, you know, Gabby Barrett, The Good Ones, you know, it's like about like good guys, you know, and things a man ought to know, like women telling men this is how you should be, and you know, then men singing these songs like, oh my god, my perfect angel, I love you so much, you know, like that's basically what we're getting at radio right now. I can hang a picture same as I can take it back. And how to keep it hidden when a heart gets broke. Yeah, I know a few things a man ought to know. They feel like country songs that like would be written in, not Nashville, the TV show, but like would be written like in an episode of a TV show about like how a female singer breaks, like they feel so on the nose about like the subject matter that has to be traversed. I have a take about this.
Go in, please.
Well, just like related to like TikTok and virality and stuff. I think Luke Combs kind of accidentally like hit the wedding song button with Beautiful Crazy, you know? Mm. And then when he hit that, it just exploded. Every TikTok has some corny country love song. All these TikToks that are like people making little videos about their relationship or about their wedding or whatever. And now it's like a whole subgenre of country guys trying to make wedding songs very explicitly. I just found some guy and now I'm going to try and remember his name, but I probably won't. But he's making a song and marketing on TikTok. He's like, this is going to be the next wedding song, guys. It's going to be so hot. It's going to be so great. And it's like absolutely unlistenable.
You are in a darker corner of TikTok than I am. I will say that. Whatever corner of TikTok this is, and I'm in a lot of weird corners of TikTok, but like that sounds dark.
Okay, but look at now Forever After All, right? It's the new Luke Combs thing, or relatively new. It's his current hit. The video is his wedding, you know,
yeah,
it's
literally sobbing, him
like
great.
Weeping during his wedding. It's the pinnacle of, I mean, like I respect it and it's kind of sweet, you know, that he's willing to share that like vulnerable side of himself. But it's also like peak this thing that I'm talking about.
I think a better video would be footage of me crying at Luke Combs' wedding, or perhaps all of us together outside Luke Combs' wedding crying. I think that might be a more enjoyable video, but I'm just throwing that out there.
It's very just as emotional. An idea.
Yeah, I want to share in, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to be excluded from that. I want to be part of it. Well,
you just have to make a TikTok video and put Luke Combs as the soundtrack, and then you are part of it, you know?
First of all, I will never tell anybody what my TikTok handle is. Nobody will ever know. It is a secret. Sam Hunt, big boy. Okay. Marissa, you brought up something that I think is really important. And like I said, I originally wanted to talk about virality and TikTok and young country singers, but I do think the fact that there is this level, again, we don't bang with country radio. We understand limitations. We are not saying that the game's changed. There are still the salad guy, I'm sure, would still get into trouble today. We don't have to say his name. You know what I mean? Like, all that stuff's still in play. But you did nail something that I think is very crucial, which is familiarity. And Gabby Barrett genuinely being Carrie Underwood Monke, that matters, right? I think Gabby Barrett would not take that as an insult. I mean, I think Gabby Barrett was doing that from before she won American Idol. She was laser targeted. It also happens to be a very winning strategy for country radio. With Gabby and the other women who are experiencing success at radio, do you feel like they are deploying familiarity in like overt instrumental ways consistently?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, if you're familiar with Carrie, your ears will take Gabby, you know? And then if you're familiar with Carly Pierce, your ears will kind of take to Tennille Arts. So there's like a little bit of a similarity there and, you know, how they enunciate. So I think like it's all this familiarity thing is just the whole idea that listeners don't respond to what they're not familiar with. You know, you're in the car, like you turn off something that doesn't sound familiar. You just want to like bop in your car. You know, if you're only opening up to the same kind of female voice, like that progression is going to be so much slower. But most of the dudes all sound the same. So it's like kind of the same thing that rolls across most of the men. It means you can barely tell a lot of them apart anyway. It's going to be slower to kind of open up to, you know, Kaylee Hammock, who I think is amazing, just as a killer voice. But I think is probably just like, I don't know what is not connecting there. Or, you know, like Mickey Guyton is, you know, one of the most talked about and one of the most talented singers out there right now who is still not getting played on country radio. That's a whole other can of worms.
Well, let's briefly open that can of worms. We're not gonna spend the rest
let's
of the show.
There.
Let's briefly. Okay, so Mickey Guyton, as I'm sure many of you know, is, I don't think she is currently the only Black woman signed to a major national label, but she was for a long time the only Black woman. I think there are maybe others who have been signed in the last stretch of time. And Mickey Guyton has been signed for a long time. And Mickey Guyton has a lovely voice and some very good songs and has not caught any kind of rhythm at country radio or even in some secondary space, really. It's been perplexing on a lot of levels. Can I play a Mickey Guyton song that I have been stupefied as to why it has not caught at all. It's not even the ones that get the most attention. It's in many ways.
Is it Rosé? Yes.
Can we play Rosé?
Yeah.
All right. This is Mickey Guyton, Rosé, from the most recent EP. Tell me that's not a country radio hit. Tell me.
Yeah.
Okay. Totally. Like, I'm not crazy, right? Like, I'm not a crazy person. When I first heard that, I was like, she got one. You know, like sometimes you just hear it and you're just like, oh, she got one. It's good. It's good money from here on out. And yet, what? What is happening?
I feel like the state of country radio right now, as you're talking about these women who have kind of at least change the pattern that we've seen for the past decade or so. Like, there's still so much homogeneity aesthetically and with the people. I mean, there still is just an overwhelming number of white guys, you know, at the top. And I think that, you know, I wrote this thing for Pitchfork about how I think streaming has the potential to really change the way country looks. One of the interesting things that I found at Country Radio Seminar was there was like a streaming panel. And Mickey Guyton's Black Like Me was like the most streamed, like it had the biggest streaming jump of any country song, like in all of 2020 or something like that, or like second highest or something like that. And it's just like none of her stuff, like you're saying, still can get a spin at country radio. I think looking at that, looking at all the people on TikTok and other places who are releasing songs that seem just like a seamless, obvious fit for country radio. Like you're saying, like things that just sound like I hear them, you know, I'm like, okay, this hits the notes that I want to hear in like a country radio single. And they just can't even get any attention, no matter how many like TikTok views they get. It just shows how behind country radio still is. Even as we like drew attention to this problem and have been drawing attention to it for years, like, they have plenty of evidence. They have numbers that say, like, this is what people want to hear. And they're just ignoring it still and playing, like, the latest, like, Luke Bryan, whatever. They're still playing all the same guys. Like, those are who are at the top of the charts. It's just...
Can I tell you a revealing thing that I noticed at CRS? CRS Country Radio Seminar, for those who don't know. It was a panel where Jimmy Allen was, like, interviewing country fans about where they listen to country music.
Oh, yeah, I watched that one. Yeah.
So it was like maybe five or six different people of different demographics, different ages, Black folks, white folks, different backgrounds. Almost all of them said that they listened to streaming in some way. Now, maybe for some it was like Pandora, for some it was Spotify playlists, but almost all of them supplemented radio with streaming. And I was most struck in the kind of like response session afterwards, where it was like a few country radio folks, it looked like that was news to them.
Right.
Like, I was surprised. It was like maybe the most vulnerable moment in that whole series of panels where they were just like, huh, that's really, yeah, okay, interesting. I, you know, wasn't sure. Okay. They were visibly stunned by this, what to me seems like a very elemental truth, right? Like a very obvious thing.
Right.
They seem visibly stunned. So the thing that you're saying, where you have all this kind of proof of concept stuff on streaming platforms, that's why it's not manifesting in country radio, because it's still novel to them. So you may be thinking, here we are watching country radio people awaken to the power of streaming. And here we are being like, country radio doesn't get it. You may think like, why the hell are we talking about country radio? Like, what are we doing here? Now, look, maybe I got just a little too happy when I saw the airplay chart. And I was like, oh, this is great. Like six or seven distinct women with distinctive styles. Like, that's great. Maybe, you know, and that's not parody by any means. But I was like, okay, that's a small victory in a universe where those are the only kind that appear to be on offer. But that makes me want to talk about Priscilla Block, right? We're here. We've arrived. Let's talk about Thick Thighs, Priscilla Block. Let's go.
I can't be the only one. fries over exercise. I never eat the produce that I buy, so I haven't tried. You can't spell diet without die. I've been eating carbs since 95, and I've heard thick thighs save lives.
Hey, everybody. I'm Wesley Morris, a critic at the New York Times, and I work in the culture department. And we make everything from Diary of a Song to that amazing 25 Greatest Actors of the 21st Century list. We also do stories about corrupt institutions and predatory artists. And it's easy to take that criticism and reporting for granted, but it takes a lot of people putting in a lot of time. And let's be honest, it's endangered. The New York Times is one of the very few news organizations left putting in that work, holding the arts to account, helping start conversations, helping end them. But it's only possible because we have subscribers that say, yes, we care about how Lizzo makes her hits. And yes, we do want to know when scholars think they've found long-lost but possibly fake biblical manuscripts. So if you care about having a giant lens on art and popular culture, and you're not already a subscriber, you can become one at nytimes.com/subscribe.
Thick thighs to me obviously feels like part of a tradition of overtly feminist country music, strong narrative character, sense of humor, you know, like kind of like thumbing your nose at like dim guys. Plenty of examples through country music history of songs like this. I got very excited. I thought it was well sung, very like structurally, like a great, well-structured song. All the parts are there, right? You guys are fans of Thick Thighs or not? Because if I'm the only one, that's cool. But like, I wonder, what do you guys make of that song?
I don't remember it like particularly striking me, but I have liked like other kind of TikTok famous songs that are in that vein. I kind of think it's actually like becoming a little mini subgenre, you know, of like ladies who will buy those little like wine glasses with sayings on them, you know, and that's kind of like their version of empowerment. I don't know. I try not to even like say that as like a really bad thing, because I think, you know, for a lot of people that's like meaningful and gives them a lot of joy. I don't really think it's like such a bad thing. There's actually a song that I really like that kind of is like about women's bodies, but in a different way. It's called Best Side by Mae Estes. She's another TikTok person. It's like the chorus is my backside is my best side. You know, it's about leaving a guy, whatever. I think it's cute. But yeah, so I'm like, I'm into the premise and I think it's cool that she did it and that she attained viral fame doing it.
That said, Priscilla Block's breakthrough at radio is not Thick Thighs and not the song that came after that. It's a song called Just About Over You. So let's listen to a little bit of Just About Over You.
Why'd you have to come back in right then, right when I was just getting good and gone? Guess I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. You must have heard I was moving on.
This song I like a lot. It's a little somber. It's a little inward looking. I was struck by the fact that on the EP that she put out, almost every song, no, actually every song was basically in that mold. And almost no songs were in the mold of Thick Thighs. And I'm really curious about the conversations behind that.
I like that song, but I know we were talking about familiarity earlier. Musically, it ticks those boxes. It has that same kind of like mid-tempo snaps. Like it's all like in the wheelhouse of what people are used to hearing on country radio too. Like I don't think it's that, aside from her actual vocals, like, and those aren't even produced to be so crazy on that song. I wish they would have like really doubled down on Priscilla Block, but I guess that's why I'm not in the music business, like responsible for making money.
Double down on her particularities rather than sandpapering to this particular sonic idea.
Yeah. Again, it's probably a better business plan to have a song that would like sound nice next to Dustin Lynch and Natural rather than like something that's a little bit more out there and not really going to work. But in terms of like having building longevity for your career, I wish they would have come out with kind of the more what makes her unique.
I totally agree. And I'm that sort of bummed me out, because as much as I like the EP, I thought the EP was like pretty well structured and like pretty strong. But I had that same sense where I was like, you're really like doubling down on this one aspect of a personality. And it's not even the thing that really sets Priscilla apart from the other folks working this territory.
I think like country radio really could use some like fun sass and wit, you know, it's really missing right now. And I feel like these songs on the EP, they fit into the more somber tone of a lot of the songs we're talking about, like the Gabby Barrett songs, the Ingrid Andress like singles that have been really successful, like these sad ballad things, even if they're power ballads, you know, they're just like really kind of intense. And I feel like it almost fits just generally with pop music. I mean, like, I don't have as much versatility as you, John, but I feel like the Olivia Rodrigo phenomenon is kind of shocking to me because I feel like these songs are so dark. But anyway, so I think, like you're saying, this EP fits sort of in that general pop mood a lot more easily. And I do like the sound generally, but I get sort of weary of these songs that are like, I got so drunk and I passed out and like I didn't know where I wound up. You know, it's like that. It felt like she was hitting that beat on almost all of the songs in the EP. And it's just like, okay, this is like a little much, you know? It's okay to have like one like bathroom floor or whatever, but even that's like a happy song. It's like, get off the bathroom floor, like have fun. You're broken up with this guy. It's good.
Right. And he was lame. He sucked.
Exactly.
Okay. So then maybe the question this EP made me ask, and I'm glad you brought up Ingrid, because like, I really like More Hearts Than Mine, but that is a funereal ass song. Yeah.
It's so intense.
You know what I mean? And it's like, it sounds like it's coming from like the great beyond, you know, it's very strange. And you know, it's possible to like that and also be a little bit like head scratch emoji about it, right? What is it about mainstream country that is steering women who are capable of all these other moods and poses and wit and sass and all these things you're talking about that is steering them to these presentations? What's happening?
The only person who's able to kind of go outside of that with any success is Maren. I mean, and even the Bones, I guess.
Right. Miranda kind of, I feel like we haven't talked much about her, but she sort of has basically kept her own lane through all of this. You know, like a Miranda song is just going to sound like another Miranda song. You know, it doesn't really fit in with the trends as much. And she did have It All Comes Out in the Wash or whatever as her like up-tempo thing. But Bluebird and Settling Down are both like kind of sad-ish, like acoustic mellow things.
So what's happening? What's happening?
Again, what? I think it's like the familiar. I mean, I think it goes into that. Like once you have one sound that works, country radio doesn't pivot. You guys are used to hearing this one sound. This is where we're going to go for like our women songs or like whatever, if they're, you know, coding them that.
But we've lived through Reba. We've lived through Shania. We've lived through Taylor, you know, country Taylor. It wasn't always like this.
Yeah, and even 80s Mercedes, like, that did pretty well. You know, Maren, who, like Miranda, really has found her own lane in there. But for whatever reason, yeah, it seems to be that, like, that sort of one uniting melodic theme throughout all of them. Which, again, like, it's great, but it doesn't open up to something really out of left field unless you're coming in as a superstar, and even that doesn't really entirely matter.
Maybe that's why Rosé never took off, because it was too happy.
Yeah, maybe that is it.
On top of all the other structural problems, it is also a happy song by a woman, and that apparently has no home on country radio right now.
Well, Carrie tried that. Carrie tried it with Southbound, and that wasn't a number one. It's the same thing. It's like that, like, we're going to give the bros, like, a little taste of their own medicine and sing, like, a, you know, a booty-drinking party song or whatever. And Southbound didn't go to number one either. And that was literally like, let's go down to the beach and like drink beers and hang out. Like that dish that just like Luke just can spill out and make a number one out of. Yeah, like that is it. And like it did not work for Carrie. Even for Carrie Underwood, that's a problem.
So do you think what happens is these people, whether it's radio folks or label executives, see something like what you're describing, which is like, hey, Carrie Underwood tried and that didn't even work on Carrie. So we're definitely not going to let the untested young talent go down that road. Do you think that's what's happening?
Yeah, that could definitely be part of it. I mean, and I think it comes back to the promo teams and budgets, not to get like too wonky.
No, get wonky, please. It's a little wonky.
But like if you're at Warner, which is Gabby Barrett's label and Ingrid's label, you're like, am I going to put my promo dollars behind this single that like we're pretty sure like might have a chance of work. Like we're already down with a woman. Like sadly, that's, you know, like you're already fighting for a reduced number of slots. So you're like, are we going to put our promo dollars behind this thick thighs song that might not work? Or are we going to go with like what they're kind of already playing that we know is already working? And they're probably going to go with what's already working.
But that's dismal.
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to be clear. I want to be clear that that is dismal. Like we are not co-signing this at all. That is a dismal, unfortunate set of circumstances. And we don't ride for that at all.
I think it's like the overall mood, though, like I said, just of pop radio and country radio right now, just kind of being more down tempo and more like a little more somber, a little more ballad prone, because I don't know. And I don't know what it'll take to change that. Maybe it's all just like butterfly effect from these like wedding TikTok things. Like everybody's just like sad and romantic or something.
Oh my God.
But maybe I'm like putting too much stock in that. I do think like there are signs of life and it would be really nice to see somebody co-sign one of them. But I wonder also if just like given the overall mood, like even putting out a party song from a guy is a risk. So like they're definitely not going to do it with a woman because any song from a woman is a risk. You know what, if that makes sense? You know, it's just like the sort of range for risk taking for women artists is just already kind of reduced. So if it goes against the prevailing trend, like they're definitely not going to try that.
And yet those songs are the ones that seem to be doing well on TikTok. Am I wrong?
Exactly. I feel like there is just this higher tolerance for like, frankly, a more country sound even, you know, and it might not be country in a way that like, okay, like Hank Williams fans aren't going to like find it that way. But songs that actually use sort of conventional country cues more than what's on the radio right now. You know what I mean? Like country TikTok favors the campy, you know, and the over the top.
Yes.
Like Hannah Dasher, who we were previously talking, you know, people who like are performatively country in a way of like, that's like questionably authentic, but definitely like checks boxes.
Let's listen briefly to a Hannah Dasher song. Let's listen to Left Right. So Hannah Dasher on TikTok is doing like cooking and Southern lifestyle type stuff. And like, it's very character driven.
I mean, the way she presents herself on TikTok is a caricature. It is like the way that a person doing some kind of sketch about the South would act. Like, I don't think it's like how she goes through her everyday life. You know, she puts on these like gingham aprons and teases her hair up to the sky and like talks about making cornbread, you know, in a way that's just like,
I Hannah mean, Dasher, she gonna make a mean TikTok about you, Natalie. She gonna be like, I think, watch me.
No.
Day in the like life.
No. I like her songs. I really do.
No, I'm just playing. I do too.
I think they're fun.
Yes, but they are carefully circumscribed.
For sure. I think it is very calculated. Her persona and the kind of music she's making, it all fits in with this idea very neatly of sort of like an over-the-top Southern hospitality, like I'm going to make very twangy, almost like Southern rock tinged kind of country, you know, that I think is really fun. Like I like listening to that. And I think like her songs actually kind of have a little bit of pep to them that like we've been talking about is sort of missing. But I'm just interested to see how far she'll go and if any of them will catch at radio.
This sounds like a like, what is it, like a mini Pearl goes TikTok kind of thing?
A little bit of that. Yeah. It's like, yes. It's a little bit of that energy. Yes.
Okay. I can get down with that.
But wait, what was that guy that we were talking about, the blue neck guy?
Chris Houseman. Yeah. So yeah. This I do know about.
If you work a job, you ought to make a living. George Strait or George Gay, there's no difference. People need help, and I think that we should listen. Three chords, and my truth is
I'm a good old boy with a bleeding heart, just a homegrown hick with a hybrid car.
Chris Houseman has a song called Blue Neck that sort of like, it's his like queer friendly, like inclusive country song, but it's like really catchy and sonically like very much in line with what you're used to hearing anyway, but it's like blew up like crazy, 300,000 streams or something like that. It was number one on iTunes. That's a good example of when like this allows for space for something else.
And the thing is, he uses so many country cues. You know, he uses the textbook formula, but like more country than what's on the radio. And yet he says Black Lives Matter in the song. You know, so it's like that's sort of a sign of like what's happening on the internet that is both more country and more interesting than what's happening on the radio.
George Strait or George Gay. I love that.
So there's an interesting juxtaposition, right? Because we're talking about, on the one hand, country radio really, really leaning in on familiarity, which is to say things that sound like things that are already on the format. It's tautological. The new song is going to sound like the old song. The cipher is complete, right? It's hard to inject any different energy into that. There is a familiarity at play on TikTok, but I think campy is a great way to describe it, because what it's triggering are these almost meta musical reference points that are easy in the context of TikTok, which is sketch driven and requires some kind of immediate buy-in. If you're going to make music on TikTok, you don't get 20 seconds to lead somebody up to a lyric. You got to jump right in with something, whether it's a performance or a singing part or something. You got to completely jump in. And oftentimes the most grabby things you can do are caricature, are camp, are stereotype done hopefully with a wink. So it's interesting that that is reflected in the music that seems to be gaining traction on TikTok, and I think is telling about why Priscilla Block can do well with a song like Thick Thighs in a TikTok context, but that's almost DOA when it comes to country radio.
Lil Nas X here is like both the leader and like the best possible example, you know, like he led the way in sort of using TikTok to be like, I'm going to have these country and Western cues. And like, wow, how unexpected is that, you know, for me to do in this particular song context? Like it immediately gets your attention. But also obviously that song really transcends like any kind of country cliche. Like it's something completely original.
Do you guys, either of you, watch the 615 house on TikTok?
I just found it today.
It's bizarre.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so glad you said that. I was like nervous. You'd be like, it was incredible. It's weird, right?
No, yeah. It's very, very intense. Yeah.
Okay. Why do you find it bizarre, Marissa? Because I feel gratified. Why do you find it bizarre?
I have a base knowledge of the 615 house. And the idea, right, is that like it's like an incubator house. Like, you know, you would do for pop stars in LA, but for country singers in Nashville, all hopping on each other's TikToks and stuff. Like, I'm trying not to sound like a grandma when I talk about this.
I think it's more or less that. I can't quite tell if they actually live together or they're doing more like the 9-to-5 songwriter type thing where they just show up to the same place. I can't quite tell. In essence, yes, it's a bunch of relatively unproven singers and songwriters doing songwriting games, cover songs, riffing on each other's music, collaborating, et cetera, et cetera. Yes, that is what is happening over at 615 House.
That is, and to some degree, the way things are done. Not exactly, but like, you know, it is sort of reflective of like, you know, songwriter retreats, I guess, which is the way a lot of things are written in Nashville. And like, not, you know, a lot of times a lot of great songs are written on songwriter retreats. But also it just like, I mean, they probably like live across from me. I don't know. I should go look outside or something.
They're in your building as we speak.
I mean, it just like, it's just so like the way Nashville is that this is coming out of our culture for some reason. It just feels like it's in an Airbnb somewhere like next to like a school. I can just feel it.
But these like TikTok houses are a thing, right? Like in other genres, absolutely. It's like TikTok creator, whatever. It's just like this one is like country music specific. And I mean, I guess like Marissa said, I mean, I can see it echoing like some kind of real songwriters community in Nashville. It's just like a very kind of curated, sanitized, extremely cheerful version of that, you know, which is a little bit eerie to watch.
Look, obviously the kind of rub with TikTok is like, this is like fast. And like, even when it's very polished, it's kind of like quick and unvarnished. You know, if you feel like some pulse, basically. The 615 House videos feel very contrived, is maybe too strong a word, but it's like very much like, we all decided to make this video right now, and now we're making the video. You know, like it doesn't feel off the cuff, really.
Or especially like creative, the way that they present them. You know, it's like there's not a lot of originality in what's going on there.
So there's one member whose name is Ashley Cook, who has, I thought, maybe the best song that I heard out of that crew. It's called Chasing You. So let's listen to Chasing You by Ashley Cook.
Chasing you like a shot of whiskey, burning, going down, burning, going down. Chasing you like a goodbye tail light, headed west, anywhere out of this nowhere town.
Ashley Cook sings in a lot of these videos. I don't know if she's like holding back. I think she's a better singer on this song than she is on those TikToks, which is odd because usually you would think it would be the opposite. Although that was a little bit strange. But if I had to take 615 House TikToks or Hannah Dasher TikToks, I would take Hannah Dasher TikToks. Yes, as campy as they are.
No, they're fun. She's good at what she does. I do not begrudge her skill or her songwriting and singing ability. Hannah Dasher, this is not an attack.
Yes, not an attack. Before we wrap up, maybe we'll do what we did last time, Natalie. Maybe we'll each of us kind of talk about a song or a singer who maybe should be getting a little bit more shine than we think that they are right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
A female singer. Marissa, anybody jump to mind?
I'll go through a couple really fast because I can't pick one because that will stress me out. I really like Morgan Wade. She's a little bit more rocky pop in there, but I think they're going to radio with one of her songs. I think if you like Miranda Lambert, you'll kind of, especially like her poppier stuff. Brittany Spencer is a songwriter, just like dynamite. Everyone is like clamoring to write with her right now because she's just so good, like amazing voice, really cool songwriting perspective too. Just really great writer. Love her. I will always love Charlie Worsham, who is like, I just like will always stand for Charlie Worsham. And he has a new album coming out that Jay Joyce produced, which is really cool for him. And if you want someone who like I think is really great to keep an eye on, I would put bets on Katie Offerman, who just got signed to UMG. And I don't think she really has much out yet, but she's a great musician, great fiddle player. And like, I think she will blow up when she comes out to country radio. And also Raina Roberts, who I also love, who's basically like a female, like Brantley Gilbert vibes. Like, again, like no reason. Ooh. She should not be on. I'm like, she would be cool with
no,
that.
No, that's like, good. That's a great way to describe it. That's like, I would have never thought of that. It's so spot on.
That's kind of her vibe and like her own version of it, obviously. But like, she should be played on country radio because it fits. It has like so much extra fire to it.
Before Natalie picks up, let's listen to Stomping Grounds by Raina Roberts.
Raise a little hill in the promised land and pray to God that he don't mind. These are my stomping grounds, and don't you forget it. Ain't a thing in the world that can change it, no.
I think for TikTok stars that I hope to hear on the radio, I'm going to put Mae Estes's name in again because I don't even think she really qualifies as a TikTok star, but I've just liked her singles. They kind of have that thick thighs spunk, like I said. They're fun. I also like Kylie Fry. I think that's how you say her name. For a little bit of Texas, you know, because now I'm down here in the Lone Star State, as they call it. And Kylie, she's just got, I mean, it's like very kind of straight ahead, traditional-ish country, but she is fun and she's been collaborating with cool people and just like a fun, regular-ish, but good country sound. And I have to cape for Rashad, even though he is not a woman, but he is Black, which would put him in an even more severe minority at country radio. And I wrote a profile of him recently for the website Holler. And he's just a fascinating guy, and I think he's extraordinarily talented and is marrying a really, like, in-depth understanding of country tradition with hip hop in a way that's maybe as organic as we've ever seen it. And I think there's sort of this interesting like micro trend right now in country to sort of include rappers who are rapping alongside country artists, kind of like Nelly Redux. There's like Lathan Warlick and Shy Carter, you know, and for some reason they're getting more of a label industry push than Rashad, which I mean, I think they're fine, you know, but I just don't really understand it because Rashad like actually is a very good singer.
You want to talk about things I've got deep takes on? That is something I have a deep take on.
But what's your deep take?
We're too deep into the episode for me to go down this hole. But we may have to revisit. Revisit it because I have a deep. I literally was just talking about this like 2 days ago.
Why are you withholding the deep take? You can't tease the deep take.
Because sometimes I got to drop the take where I need to drop it. And that may not be right this moment. But don't worry about it. It'll be dropped.
I'm glad I teed up your take that you're not going to share with me.
You're very welcome.
But yeah.
All right. Let me run through a couple of folks before we wrap. We didn't talk about Robin Adelini. F-150 is the kind of like, quote unquote, hit. I don't love that record. It's like very kind of like obvious to me. There's an older song called Good Fish, which I think is actually funny and like a little bit sassier. And like, again, maybe this is the Priscilla Block thing in Redux where it's like, oh, you have the sassy song or the good song or the kind of witty song. And then once you get on, you have to make your kind of like, memory. You have to make that song. So maybe that's what's happening. But I like the older Robin Adelini. Someone who I included in my long album list last year was someone named Lauren Machitti. Great, great album. Really just super, super strong. And I'm looking forward to hearing more from her. And I guess the last person is actually someone I discovered kind of in prepper as I was preparing for this episode is someone named Claire Dunn.
Oh, I love Claire Dunn. Well, you haven't been listening to my new country playlist, John, because she's been on there for a long time.
Well, okay. So I'm here to be late on Claire Dunn. Claire Dunn.
Join the party.
That's fine. I'm happy to be invited, frankly, to this party. Claire Dunn has a song called Unread, which I think is just beautifully written, lovely voice, very, very sober in the non-drinking sense, like very sober and very heartfelt and well sung. And a lot of the stuff on this, I forget if it's an EP or an album, a lot of the stuff is similar. So we'll go out in a bit with Unread, but I want to say thank you to Marissa and thank you to Natalie. Listen to every podcast ever at nytimes.com/podcast. Get on the Facebook group, get in the Discord, email us podcast@nytimes.com with any questions or thoughts or any singers we might have overlooked on this episode. Subscribe to podcasts anywhere you get your audio content, Google, Apple, yada, yada, yada. Spotify, yada, yada, yada. Our producer on the late shift is Pedro Rosado from Headstepper Media. We will be back next week. Here's Unread by Claire Dunn. When you leave-